So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you on the subject tonight, a living without lacking. Living without lacking. I'm just so thankful that we have the ability to live without lacking. Now, some of you are thinking, well, he's probably going to talk on money tonight. No, I'm not. But now, get ready, because I'm getting ready to do a series on money. Why, Pastor? Because we need to know about how to manage money, how God uses money in the kingdom of God. Amen. So I'm getting ready to do that. Now, let me tell you, when are you going to do it? So I'm going to be gone. I ain't going to tell you. I'm just going to start it, and then I'll catch you while you're here. But let me just tell you. See, we don't take up another offering. And let me just give you this good news. To God be the glory, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. We are above budget. Amen. So, you know, it's not out of need. It's not out of that. But the problem is, some people, you know, if there are benefits that you don't know about, you need to know about the benefits. Amen. So I'm going to talk about that, but not tonight. Living without lacking. There's a motto that boasts a claim for both corporations and individuals, which says, here are the four letters that hold the key to success. And they are, make yourself more useful. All right, now I'm going to preach today, but I'm going to give you some practical things that will help you in the marketplace. Because what does it matter if we are so spiritual, but you can't hold down a job? What is it if we are so spiritual and but you a bum? Look at your neighbor and say, that was directed toward you. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul mentions several things and then concludes by saying that you may lack nothing. And so therefore, this is a short list, is powerful, and it calls for us to examine ourselves and see if we are in alignment with these principles that will help us to have what we need to live how we need to live. You know, listen, God's will for your life. Oh, here he goes on that prosperity stuff. No, listen. God's will for your life is not to struggle every week of your life. But in order to do that, you got to put some success principles in place. And can I tell you, the most successful principles in the world are found right here. If you want to know how to be successful, it's right here. If you want to know how to be a successful husband, a wife, a father, a mother, whatever, a friend, it is found right here in this book. And I want to share it with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's good, right? We're taught to love one another. Next verse. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Now, I need to stop right there. And I did say thank y'all, didn't I? Because I just thought about Brian Cutshaw, and I can't stand him. But let me, you know, he would give you some kind of something in here that just like, oh my God, where did that come from? Oh, dear. Well, Macedonia means Macedonia. But let me share it with you this. Now, Paul is talking here, and he's saying, you indeed show your love toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. Here's what he was talking about. You share your love with the people that you know. You share love with the people that are like you. You share your love with the people who are in your neighborhood. He said, you're already doing that in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. more and more. So that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. You know he ain't talking to me. But no, we'll get to that. It's not a volume. It's a quiet life. Oh, look at your neighbor, next door neighbor. Tell them, to mind your own business. Don't get mad, that's the word. And to do work with your hands as we command you. Verse 12 says, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. People who are outside the faith. People who are outside of just your circle. It's easy for me to love the people that I know and I like. Well, Pastor, you're supposed to like everybody. Find me that in the Word. It says you're supposed to love everybody. But there's some people who I love whom I can't stand. Then, Pastor, what do? I love them and treat them like I love them until I love them. Yeah. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Now, man, I don't know about you, but that's how I want to live. I want to live in such a way that I lack nothing. I want to live in such a way that I don't lack anything that God has for me. Now, let me give you one. Number one, allow your love for others to increase. And sometimes that's hard. You know, here I'm going to tell you a prayer that I prayed. I don't pray it every day because I can't handle it every day. But I pray from time to time, Lord, increase my capacity to love. How many people, don't raise your hand because this is self-incriminating, but how many of you can only handle about 3 people to love? And you are a family of 5, so 2 are doing without. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You don't have the capacity to love more than where you are right now. But the Bible is teaching us to increase our capacity to love. Because one of the key components to success is love. Pastor, how can you say that? Because 1 Corinthians 13 and 8 tells us that love never fails. So that's one component, is to love. Now, and again, I say this almost every time I talk about love. Because I hear so many preachers who talk about love and they're so sappy, you know, and they're so sissified. If that offends you, then be offended. God didn't call us to be sissified, He called us to be men. And so they talk about the love of Jesus. And it is the love of Jesus, but I don't want you to say it that way. I want the love of Jesus that loves you enough to get in your grill. But also it loves you enough that you can climb up in his lap if you need to. Amen. The more you love, the more you reflect God's heart, and the more God's heart affects you. There is favor in walking in the love of God. In the love of God. You know why? Because there's power in unity. See, that's why I can love everybody without liking everybody. Pastor, I don't agree with that. Well, you're wrong. Let's move on. Because if you really believe that, there are people you don't like, but you don't want them to go to hell. Right? There's some people I can't stand. There's some people, if God would let me, I would throat punch them. They're not here. They'll be here Sunday. Matter of fact, a couple of them are watching online. I'm just kidding. But you understand. But that doesn't mean that I don't love them. How many times have you wanted to pinch? How many of your mama said, I'm going to pinch your head off? That's a southern thing. My mama used to say, I'll pinch your head off, boy. Did that mean she didn't love me? No, of course she did. She loved me therefore she wanted to pinch my head off. God wanted us to dwell in unity. Now I want you to catch this. There is power in unity, but God wanted us to dwell in unity, but not necessarily uniformity. There's the difference. There's the rub. He wants us in unity, but not uniformity. Well, what does uniformity mean? It means everybody's in the same uniform. Everybody looks the same, acts the same. Now we're to act Christ-like, but if you really want to get free, it's come to Jesus. Because the world is uniformity. The world is uniformity. In today's church environments, where there are so many divisions and denominations and differences, God enjoys when brethren dwell together in unity. Psalms 133, Brian mentioned it on Sunday. But behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, we have to find a place of unity without compromising what Jesus and the Father holds dear. See, here's what I can say. I'm really easy to get along with. Because other denominations, other churches, whatever, I'm easy, man. They're like, well, I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. And then I go, okay, don't do it. Well, I don't believe in healing. All right, then stay not healed. I mean, Pastor, really? Because it's only for the believer anyway. So if you don't believe, I'm not going to wreck myself trying to get you to believe. You know, people come to church here sometimes and they come, well, you know, Pastor, you're just too much for us. Like, dude, you came here. I hadn't changed. You the one came. And then you get sick of me, what? Get out. It's crazy. You just need to calm down. You need to get more excited. Amen. Because, baby, when Jesus has done for you what he's done and doing for me, I can't help but get excited. So where am I at? I don't know. That doesn't mean that you will be able to walk in unity with everybody who claims to follow Christ. But I am sure it means we will walk in unity in a greater degree. Because here's my deal. Pastor, should we have fellowship with this or with that? Here's my litmus test. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin by the blood of Jesus, then I can call you my brother. Well, but Pastor, you know, this one drinks. Well, whatever, I can't do that. And that's what we preach abstinence. Well, Pastor, they sleep around. I don't understand that either. They're going to probably bust hell wide open, but I'm not the judge. But I did just judge, didn't I? Why? Because the Word of God says that. The Word of God says if you act like that, you can't say you're his. Ooh. It's Wednesday night around him. The circle is bigger than most of us have made it. The major hurdles for the early church was at the very beginning that they were unwilling to accept Gentiles into their number. That was a major step toward God's heart. Now, some people try to use this same argument. Go ahead, send me emails, PastorJustin@CrystalRiverCOG.com. So they try to use this method and they try to use this same argument that the Jews wouldn't let the Gentiles in, and they use that same argument with the division of homosexuality and transgender and all the other isms that is out there. And they say, well, you know, they didn't accept them. Well, because here's the deal. You can't compare the two. Because being a Gentile, you could not help. You were born. Oh, Pastor, I'm getting there. And that's why the gay community is fighting and culture is fighting so hard to get you to believe that they were born that way. All right, I'm going to lose some people right here, and I understand that. I hope I don't lose you from church, but some of y'all are going to shut me off right here, and that's cool. Just stay with me and let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. All right? Let it the Holy Spirit. Because does that mean that we hate those people? No. You've got to love the sinner and hate the sin. All right? And everybody in this church, if you look around on Sunday, you know that we got all kinds of people that come to church here. Well, Pastor, I don't think they ought to be at church. Where do you think they ought to be? Where should they be? I think they ought to be in the house of God where the Word of God and the Spirit of God is coming, because the Bible says that no man comes unto the Father except for the Spirit of God draws them. All right? But then, okay, all right. So, you know, just because you're born a certain way doesn't give you the right to give in to all of the nuances and urges that you have as how you were born. All right, because I'm going to mess. Here's where I'm going to get some email probably. Because if you talk, how do you? Because I have. I've been doing this 30 years. If you talk to some pedophiles, they will tell you, I can't control the urges. I was born this way. The news ain't going to tell you that. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up. If you're that person and you're going to come to me for counseling and tell me that, make sure it's a good day. Ask Becky before you schedule, is this a good day? Because this is everything I can do not to cut your throat. And matter of fact, I got my knife sharpened today. Boy, that thing's sharp. So I'm just saying. But Pastor, you shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't, but I'm mourning this way. All right, now. Hallelujah. All right, but check this out. They can't help themselves. No, that's called sin. I was born into sin. Wait a minute, Pastor. You was born as a crack baby? No, I went to church 9 months before I was born. My mama was pregnant with me. I'm surprised that mama didn't give birth on the pew. I mean, I went to sleep many times underneath the pew. I remember one time I went to sleep and it was pitch black because there were 11 of us. They forgot one of us, me. I woke up and thought I was blind. Oh, I can't see nothing. But the answer to this was the way that you were born is to be born again. Amen. That's my deal. I was born this way. Listen, I was born a man that wants to give in to my indulgences. And you're a woman, and if you did what you wanted to, some of you would be shopping all the time. My wife is gone, isn't she? Yeah, she's at a meeting. But you understand what I'm saying? You know? If we gave into what we wanted to do just because it is in us, almost every woman could say, you know, most men are what? Dogs, right? Yeah, yeah. But what if we just did whatever we want to do? That's a dog. That's right. That's a dog. That's why we can't do that. Why? Because we were born this way. I can't help that I was born into a family that both of my parents wasn't educated. That explains a lot right now. Right? Neither one of my parents graduated high school. Yeah, that explains a lot, Pastor. Well, keep on praying. Neither one graduated high school. My mother was a product of 13 children, that her daddy was a drunk, that her stepmom would hide her in the bedroom and take the beating so that the other children wouldn't take the beating. And she met up with my daddy, who quit school in the seventh grade so he could go work, and my grandpa would take his paycheck so that he could go get drunk. I can't help. I was born into a dysfunctional family. But what I can help is if I stay that way, because the word of God was given so I could straighten out my stinking thinking, because I was born one way, but I now am born again. My God, somebody hear me. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. C.S. Lewis wrote this. Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the greatest secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love them. Psalms 133 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. And you know, remember he said he spoke out. Had to be here Sunday. And the beard of Aaron running down in the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Where? In the place of unity. See, there is a commanded blessing from God upon unity. One sure way we can position ourselves to avoid lack is by not cutting people out of the herd that God has included in the herd. You know, in every herd, you got some busybodies. You got some weak. You got some strong. You got some different colorations and variations, right? We can't just cut people out of the herd that God's trying to include in the herd, because who knows, one of those persons may be the person God ordained to open a door for you. All right, number two. I got five. Number two, aspire to live a quiet life. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? People who tell everybody else how to do it, but don't do it themselves, is a surefire way to get into trouble. Right? See, I'm not talking about volume. You know, people who oppose the way that I preach and stuff like that, you know, I can't help that I get loud. But if I was in a bar, I'd get loud. I'm just loud. That's my personality. You know, you pick a beige and you pick a bold, I'm going to pick the bold. So that's who I am. I was born that way. Even I've been born again, and I'm still that way. All right? Now, I'm not talking about volume, but the people who go, well, Pastor, you need to calm down. All that yelling. God's not deaf. He's also not nervous. You know, you come around people who have nerve problems, you go, hey! Don't do that. I just can't take all this noise. God ain't going, oh. I believe 100% when we were singing, God was going, yeah, come on. Bring it. I'm loving it. Come on. Talk to me. I believe that's what God's doing. All right? So Paul is saying, don't be a noisy, self-promoting, pride-filled individual who is constantly spouting out orders to the rest of the world as to what they should do while neglecting your own soul. Christians are to be a prayerful, deliberate people who are led by God and not by the latest fads of the world. Paul condemns unsettled minds such as curious in matters which don't concern them. You know, I know guys who could quote the whole roster of the Gators or the FSU or Alabama or Tampa Bay Bucks or somebody, but they can't tell you three disciples. Well, I believe Jesus is in there somewhere. Yeah, you think? He's kind of the lead of it. Does this following remind you of yourself in any way? The Coronary and Ulcer Club. List the following rules in order to be members. Your job comes first, forgetting everything else. Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays are fine times to be at work, at the office. There's nobody else there to bother you. Always have your briefcase with you when you're not at your desk. This provides an opportunity to review completely all the troubles and worries of the day when you have time. Never say no to requests. Always say yes. Accept all invitations to meetings, banquets, committees. All forms of recreation are a waste of time. Never delegate responsibility to others. Carry the entire load yourself. If your work calls for traveling, work all day and travel all night to keep the appointment the next day at 8 o'clock in the morning. And no matter how many jobs you are already doing, remember, you can always take one more. If that describes you, then that's the ulcer and coronary club. And you're about to be in trouble. See, many of us, and this is me, many of us suffer from information overload. I mean, everything is at your fingertips. You ain't got to know stuff. Hey, my smartphone has made me dumb. Isn't that the truth? I remember when our church, we was about 150 people. I could tell you everybody's phone number. Wasn't no cell number, just a home number. I could tell you there. Might be a beeper here and there. But I could tell you their phone number. I barely know my children's phone number. I used to quote scripture and tell you chapter, verse, and book. It's too easy to pull it up. I used to know how to get to Wendy's. I don't even know how to get to Wendy's anymore. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? We do it. I would go one place one time. I got it down. I've been to places several times. I've been living in my same house for 10 years. I'm going to put it in my GPS before I go home. No, I'm not quite that bad. You have to have, I want you to hear me. Oh, I'm skipping over that. Let me get back up here. We're to patiently wait, listen, and the act in faith as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Yet the truth is we are inundated by opinions endlessly around us. We've got to learn to tune some things out. I'm not talking about your spouse. We do that automatically. I'm glad my wife's not in here right now. But we have to learn to tune some things out of our life. Tune some things out. We've got to learn to tune these things out and tune the Holy Spirit in. Because a noisy life is many times a distracted life. A distracted life is an offer or is a off-center line life. You know, I've already said that so many times. Sister Cap said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. I know, I'm messing with you. She said, you know, I don't mean it like that. I know, you just hit it when you. You're secretly praying, shut him up, Lord Jesus. I'm kidding you. A life out of God's will miss blessings that you could have been received. You know what? Some of us don't get some of the blessings that God has for us because you didn't show up where God sent it. You know, listen to me. Come here, Justin. All right, we're going to play football here in a minute. Here. Yeah. Can you catch? Yeah. Let's try. All right, good. All right, now here's what we're going to do. I want you to go long. All right. Ready?
Down, ready, set, hut.
Go long. You ready? Why didn't you catch it, son? Now, thank you. Now I did that as an illustration because that's what we do. God says, here's the will of God, but you take off on your own. And I know I told him to go that, but we take off on our own. But God, you know, in football, and I don't hate doing that many analogies in football because not everybody likes it and not everybody. My daughter says, can you go to a football game and explain it to me? And so, but when you are what they call a good route runner, the quarterback, God, says, all right, I want you to go out 5 yards and do a crossing route. And by the time you get there, the football's going to be there. And that's what God does. He says, I've commanded the blessing there. Where? Your unity. I've commanded the blessing there, but you're still over there. And I sent the blessing there. And you wondering and bellyaching and complaining why you missed the blessing, but I put it there. But you took the wrong turn and you ran the wrong route. And now I still threw the blessing. And now it's on the floor, but you're over here on another route. You better preach. I'm trying to. A quiet life. You have to have some quiet in your life. A quiet life has to be a life has to be a life with some quiet in it. A quiet life has to be a life that knows how to stop the noise getting into one's soul and the noise being released from one's soul.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.